Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, September 11th. Happy Resurrection Day. And I'm reading from the New International Version. We're in Joshua chapter 5 today. We'll finish up with Psalm 105 and then Matthew chapter 6 verses 16 through 34. In Joshua chapter 5 today, there is a lot going on. So if you have a chance to sit down with a copy of the scripture, I encourage you to do that. In this passage, we're going to have two covenantal ceremonies resumed. These two ceremonies are the rite of circumcision and the feast of the Passover. So during the time when they were wandering in the wilderness, the people of Israel did not circumcise their children. And the circumcision is a sign of their covenant with God. And so they are going to resume this. And then when they celebrate the Passover, this is just also a reminder of how God had worked for his glory in their midst. This is a very interesting passage. And so at the end, we'll talk a little bit more about it. Now, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. At the time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. Now, this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. In this passage, I want to discuss this commander of the Lord's army. Who do you think that was? Well, Amanda and Dr. Smith, which was our preaching professor, and we kind of think he has really a direct line to the Lord. He thinks it is a Christophany. Now, that's a big word for meaning an appearance of our Lord Jesus. So If Jesus has appeared to Joshua, imagine here, he's the captain of the army, which makes sense of God's army. And do you notice the question that Joshua poses to the Lord? Are you for us or for our enemies? And our Lord Jesus, we think it is, or the commander of the army says, neither, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And then Joshua falls face down to the ground in reverence. And if it weren't the Lord, I can imagine that the angel would say, get up, don't praise me, praise God. But the commander of the army doesn't make him get up. And so that's one of the reasons we think it was probably the Lord. And then the commander of the Lord's army tells Joshua to take off his sandals, for this is holy ground. In the commentary in my Bible, it reminded me that God isn't for any nation. It says, Joshua and Israel must know their place. It is not that God is on their side. So God's not always on the side of Israel. Rather, they must fight God's battles. It's not that God is on their side just because they're born Israel. He's on their side in the sense that they're on his team. So God is the captain, and we must get on board with what he says is truth, and we must do his purposes. And when we're on his team, then God is for us, as it says in Romans chapter 8. This is just a good reminder for us that Joshua has to take orders from the Lord. He is not holy. He is not the one in charge. Rather, it is God who is in charge. And that same goes for us. We are not our own captain. Instead, we have one that we look to as captain of our ship, and it is our Lord Jesus, and we look to him for guidance and for direction in the ways that we should go. Okay, let's move on over to the Psalms. We're going to finish up Psalm 105 today and be reminded of God's work among the Israelites. Okay, we're going to start in verse 23. Then Israel entered Egypt. Jacob resided as a foreigner in the land of Ham. The Lord made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them, his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark. For had they not rebelled against his words, he turned their waters into blood, causing their fish to die. Their land teemed with frogs, which went up into the bedrooms of their rulers. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He turned their rain into hail, with lightning throughout their land. He struck down the vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, grasshoppers without number. They ate up every green thing in their land, ate up the produce of their soil. Then he struck down all the firstborn in their land, the firstfruits of all their manhood. He brought out Israel, laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left, because dread of Israel had fallen on them. He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail. He fed them well with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and obey his laws. Praise the Lord. before we move on, I just want to mention here at the end the reason for God's favor. In verse 44, he said he gave him the lands of the nations. And the reason is in verse 45, that they might keep his precepts and obey his laws. And so God's blessing in our lives is meant to propel us to obey him and to proclaim his goodness. Let's turn over to the Gospel of Matthew. Today we're in Matthew chapter 6. We're starting with verse 16 and we'll go through the end of the chapter. In this section, Jesus talks about fasting and treasures in heaven and the fact that we should not worry. This is a passage that one of our growth groups tried to memorize, a little bit unsuccessfully for me, but it is a passage that is close to our hearts because many of us tend towards worry, and I'm glad to remind us of what the Lord says about that today. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. This passage about worry is interesting. In verse 33, it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. I was thinking back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. And in that passage, you also have to seek the Lord first. It's humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, so that he might lift you up. And then verse 7 says this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. When we cast our anxiety on the Lord, we are giving it over to him. And it's so hard not to want to take it back, but Today, my prayer is that we will allow the Lord to carry the weight of our worries while we are seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness and humbling ourselves before the Lord our God. Okay, we're continuing on in this beautiful practice of going through the alphabet to claim who God is and His character. And today we're going to start with P and we'll go through the word T. Let's pray together. We thank You, Lord, for You are patient with us and You pardon our sins and You bring us perfect peace. Yours is the power and the wisdom. We thank You, Lord, that You are our Redeemer. You are our redemption. You are our refuge. And You remember those who seek Your name. I love this one, Lord. You are our rock and our strength. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for being a sanctuary, a haven for us. Finally, Lord, we praise You for You are trustworthy and transcendent. You are not like humans so that we might say, God, are You on our team? Rather, You are infinitely higher than us in being and in action. And so we say to You, Lord, we want to be on Your team. We want to seek Your kingdom and Your righteousness, and we want to humble ourselves before You. And we pray that You would help us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.